Ladies and gentlemen, trans and non-binary punks of all ages and denominations, welcome back to another episode of Not Just a Phase. We are in season four somehow, so thanks for joining us today. If you're new here, going to get our plugs out of the way really quick. We're online at notjustaphase.net. We're on Instagram and TikTok at Not Just a Phase Worldwide, and we're on Twitter at NJAP Worldwide. And we now have a Patreon with some bonus content, video podcasts, all that good stuff. If you want to help support the expansion of our podcast and Blogspot and all the other content we continue to create for you. And a shout out to our video editing team at Blocko Media, who are also the boys from Medulla Lunar. So make sure you give them a check out and a follow. Vicky is back on our mic today, co-hosting with me. She is the meme queen at Screamo underscore affirmations. She's the vocalist of Rescue Cat, and she books shows in Italy at RMSKRMZ on Instagram. And she's written articles for many different publications, so it's always nice to have her back on the mic with her expertise. Today, our microphone is going all the way out to Texas. We're amped to be chatting with members of Cinema today. They're an emo core band that have been making huge waves since their start in early 2023 last year. And they just recently released their full-length album, Fear of the Fall. It's got a nostalgic sound to it that somehow is reminiscent of the emo that was popular during the MySpace era when I was a teenager. But I can hear hints of early From Autumn to Ashes and early Silverstein and a ton of other bands from the early 2000s era in their sound. But I'm not sure that these kids were even born when those bands were beginning their career. So I'm excited to find out what's influenced them and what's next for the band.
Okay. This is Hunter. You're listening to On a Broken Edge by My Band Cinema on Not Just a Phase.
Yeah.
So, guys, welcome to the show. How are you feeling today?
Feeling good. Hello. Yeah, what's up?
Sorry, very long-winded intro there.
Now you're good.
For people who are listening, would you guys be able to just say your name and what role it is you play in the band?
My name's Caleb. I play guitar and I sing.
My name's Hunter, and I play guitar and I scream and sing as well.
Okay, perfect. So, like I asked you guys earlier before we hit record, have you listened to this podcast before?
Yes.
I think I have.
Perfect.
I checked out the one with Sasha Rain. I'm like 20 minutes into the just one with Jesse from number 12.
Cool. That's more than usual. Do you guys listen to any podcasts in your free time or?
I kind of listen to podcasts usually like at work a lot, and like before I go to sleep sometimes. I don't, it kind of helps me go to sleep.
Yeah, they are pretty boring. What kind of what podcast do you listen to?
I like very like I know like people don't really like Lex Friedman a lot. And like I honestly like think he's like I like his guests. I like the I don't know, I like very like I like hearing shit just about like ancient civilizations and like just bullshit like that. It's like that, and then there was this the only other like screamo or like emo podcast related thing I've heard, I think it's called like when I went to the beach, or where I went to the beach. Hold on, I'm gonna double check that real quick.
I was gonna say, are you looking it up? I've never heard of this.
It's they've had some really cool guests. They've had like Jack Senf from like Midwest Pen Pals, and people
Winning.
from Snowing.
Really?
Okay,
I
it's
haven't
called
heard of this.
I Might Go to the Beach. That's what it's called.
Ooh, I'll have to
It's
check that out.
like, it's pretty old. I think my friend Chris from Party has showed me it. But yeah, they have a lot of cool guests on there. They have one Tim Pincella. Yeah, that's basically it.
I don't really listen to any podcasts. I listen
I mean, fair enough. Can you tell us where in Texas you come from specifically?
The Dallas area. We live like 45 minutes north of Dallas in a place called McKinney.
Do you have to do any amount of commuting to reach any sort of area where there's like an actual scene, or is there a scene close to where you're from?
Oh yeah, we have to drive 45 minutes every time to probably, like our local like scene where we play shows is 45 minutes away from where we live.
And so, was that scene like? And like, can you shout out a few maybe local bands or venues, stuff that you like that's going on?
Denton's really cool. So that's where we that's I guess our local scene, Denton. What's it called? They have bands like Two Nights is from there, Father Figure, Innards. My favorite local bands there right now, I'd say, are like Party Hats, a new band called My Point of View, Bullets Between Tongues, Brief Memoir, Losing Today.
Empty Shell Casing
And then
artworks.
there's a lot of, there's a lot, and then like also, like my favorite venue to play is Rubber Gloves, and that's in Denton. They're really awesome, and the shows there are like always really fun.
So, would you say, how did you guys all meet? Are you like the newer wave? Is it like people all more or less like the same age as you?
I'd say like the newer wave right now, like we're probably like in our scene specifically, we're probably like the more younger crowd, I guess, but it's like not much older, because like I mean, the youngest person in Bullets is also 20, but they're the rest of the members are a little older. Party Ats is a little older. Two Nights is older, so we're, I guess, but there's also like other young bands like
Six Shots in Dallas.
I think they're all around our age. Always Never Stays. But yeah, it's, yeah, I guess it's kind of like it ranges from like age like 20 to like I guess 30, yeah, like 20 to 30.
That's crazy. Like, since you're all so young, we hardly ever ask this question unless like it's specifically like young people, because we're interested to know like what introduction to alternative music or punk or your local punk scene.
Yeah. I guess like by introduction to like I guess like punk and alternative music was probably just like, you know, like shit like Fall Out Boy and like when I was like in fifth grade, Fall Out Boy, and then like I kind of listened to like My Chemical Romance and like middle school stuff, like, you know, stuff like that. But then like in high school, like I feel like when I was like I became aware of like hardcore when I found out about like Tidal Fight my freshman year, and I guess from there, like I was already like I found like Tidal Fight and like American Football, like I guess my freshman year, and then from there just like dove deep.
That's kind of like the emo pop hardcore pipeline.
Yeah, I'd say that. And then locally, my introduction was I saw Party Hats at a show, a house show. This is this old house venue called Moe's. That was like the first DIY show I'd been to, and I saw them play live. And yeah. And that was, yeah, it was really cool.
I had older sisters and they listened to emo and like Panic at the Disco and My Chemical Romance and A Day to Remember and things like that. So, and Sleeping with Sirens and Pierce the Veil and, you know, all of the above of like 2000s teenage girl things. So that's how I found emo. And then I found punk and hardcore because of skating when I was like in eighth grade and freshman, like he said.
So, since, like, you started bands, you're running a band pretty successfully. Plus, congratulations. Boom.
Thank you.
Is
there anything else you do outside of music? I know, like, when I ask and when we ask people in DIY if they do anything else, it's usually no. Like,
yeah.
It's hard to make the case. But do you maybe have some other stuff going on? Like, do you have other hobbies, interests? Work, school?
I mean, we work.
Yeah, we both work together at a warehouse.
For my dad.
Yeah. It's like manual labor stuff.
Yeah. We work a blue collar job, I guess.
That, and then I don't really, I still skateboard. Yeah, I like to skateboard.
I play basketball sometimes.
Yes. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I have a girlfriend. That takes up a lot of my time.
Just skating sometimes and work. And then, yeah, band is kind of like, you know, main hobby. But, yeah.
Bob, you there?
I'm still here. I was just waiting for them to be done. Don't want to interrupt anybody. This album gave me such nostalgia, like powerful nostalgia. When I first heard it, like I literally was like hallucinating. I was in some other world. Like it took me way back. I don't know how the fuck you guys did it. Because I recently, I think actually we were speaking with Jesse Corbin from Number 12. He was saying how you can't write nostalgia. And I think that's, he was talking in terms of his band, but you can definitely write nostalgia. That album proved it. Yeah, I don't really know how to put it into words, to be honest, but there's it's not like a drastic leap, but there is a leap in the change from when you're comparing like the sound of your 2023 EP into after the Flatline there to your full length album. I'm just wondering how that came about, like what inspired the style for this album compared to the EP.
Well, we listened to a lot more like I guess sadder, softer emo at first.
Makes sense.
Yeah. We had another band and it was like a lot softer and not like, still we kind of went for a more nostalgic emo sound, but it was like our first thing or like our first time trying to write music. So we weren't like, we knew what we wanted to do, but knowing what you want to do and being able to do it are two different things. And so it took us a long time to get to Fear of the Fall. And Fear of the Fall is just like, now that we've played guitar and understand writing songs and understand being a band together, it's like, this is what we've been trying to do from the start.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Just now we can.
Yeah.
So it was like a conscious, it was a conscious change. You were intending this, obviously.
Yes. Like I'd say, on the EP, like, the oldest songs or like the newest songs on there were probably like that we had written, were like, "And You Already Forgot" and "Hard to Get By." And I guess that was kind of the sound I wanted to go for. But then I wanted more breakdowns.
We played with heavier bands and it made us want to write heavier
music. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Where was I? I lost my train of thought. Yeah, so for your guys' writing process, how does that work out? Are you guys doing the lyrics first, or are you the doing lyrics? Instrumentals and then fitting lyrics after?
The lyrics are usually the last thing, just because I write lyrics and I'm kind of lazy. And I wait until fairly last minute sometimes, and sometimes I write things just like immediately. It just depends on how much like time I either have or want to give to it at the moment. So sometimes like there'll be an instrumental that I'll write lyrics for within 2 weeks of the instrumental being done, and sometimes I won't write it until like 2 days before I know we have a recording date.
Yeah,
so
very, very well prepared. Yeah. Classic musician scatterbrain shit. Okay. So who mixed and mastered this album? Because everything on it sounds so fucking good. Like there is a massive leap in production from the EP to the full length.
Thank you. It's actually the same person.
Okay, so they just time. They went for a, because your older stuff has more of a lo-fi sound. So were they intentionally? Yeah.
So I guess like when we were first making Ask the Flatline, there was like a little like dispute between how like it seemed like half the members of the band wanted it to be like lo-fi and screamo. I personally wanted it to be kind of closer to what Fear of the Fall sounds right now, but we kind of just agreed, like we're like, whatever, it's our first demo. Like I guess I don't know. I feel like sometimes like making everything more clear can also like point out bad things, and maybe we're just like maybe I was a little insecure at first, so I wanted to sound like shitty first. Yeah, he put like a little tape thing all over the whole mix, and then for the album, like we had told him, we're like, yeah, we want to go for a lot more higher quality,
louder
production, just like where you feel it more, a lot clearer. And we actually are, because We've been getting a lot of like kind of mixed comments about the mix. Like some people say it's like really good, and then some people say it's really bad. And I guess we kind of did rush to put it out, because we were on tour, and that was like our goal to drop it while we were on tour.
We just wanted to have something to like, we wanted to have a reason to be on tour.
Yeah. Sorry, I lost my train of thought.
We rushed to put it out, and
yeah,
we might be in the process of trying to do a
yeah,
remaster,
literally,
remix, remaster.
right before I called, we got on this call, we talked to the our friend Santi. Yeah, I didn't even say his name. His name's Santi Santiago Lara. We did it all in a bedroom in his house. But yeah, we're gonna work on trying to make it sound even better. So
Shout out to him.
yeah.
He's our friend, and he was really patient with us
Yeah.
because we're stupid and it takes us a lot of time,
Yeah.
a lot more than it should.
Well, it's a hell of a good sounding production. So I'm surprised it wasn't done. Like, is he professional or is he just like.
He's going to school for it. Like he's still in,
Okay.
yeah, he's going to school for it.
Or it is just in his spare bedroom.
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, it sounds great. It's really good production. I mean, if you like the more lo-fi sound, your EP does that really well too, right? So it's cool
Yeah.
to hear best of both worlds kind of sitting in there.
Yeah.
So I loved the minimalist art on the cover. Who did that? Was that your guys' idea to keep it that style?
Yes, it was
It was our idea to keep it like more minimalist, to kind of be like a mix between like Full Collapse and I'd Prefer If You Were an Astronaut, thus the teal color scheme or greenish color scheme.
You'd prefer to be an astronaut,
Yeah,
but
I don't know the thing very
but
well.
from
The
what
Hum album. But it was done by our friend Dylan McCarr, and he also runs Native Estates, who printed our shirts, and he's helped designed our past couple graphics.
He's been kind of he's a good friend, and he went to school for graphic design, and he also he does a lot of like work with like local like skate companies and even like big skate companies. So he's really good at what he does, and he like reached out to us to work with us, and then he's also just a good homie. So
Awesome. So, is there any chances of the EP being repressed? Because I know you guys did 75 tapes with Sell First Records.
We did while we were on tour, Tate from One Way Mirror, he's running his own little DIY label, Home to Heart. They did CDs for us, for After the Flatline. Those kind of sold out like halfway through tour. I think he has more being made and shipped for that. And then I have had people like ask me to do After the Flatline on vinyl. And I do want to do it. I just haven't done it. Like I don't know. I don't have a computer. And if I did, like I would be probably like trying to design everything myself. But yeah.
You don't have a computer? What are you, Amish or something? I don't know anybody who doesn't have a computer.
I just don't have. I mean, like, I guess it's just because, like, I mean, all of high school they provided you a computer. They
Oh yeah,
gave
fair
us,
enough.
yeah, they gave us a MacBook, which is very nice. And then like you had the option to buy it after, and I honestly should have done that because it wasn't too much. But I was like, no, I might as well just like save my money and buy an actual good like a nice computer. And yeah, I haven't done that, so. I
All
just
right.
I have an iPad with a keyboard, so
Does the job. Does the job. I was mentioning your guys' sound kind of reminded me of early From Autumn to Ashes, which has been my favorite band since I was like 12. And I was just curious if you guys had even heard of them because.
No, I they were a big inspiration, like, or like one of like I love how they like they're very soft. Clean parts, very jangly almost, and then the singing. But I really love how they write their songs. So yeah, I would say
We
they're,
like the dynamics.
yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Because I heard it immediately, and then I was like, "Wait a second, have these kids even heard this band?" Because I'm fucking old, and that shit came out when I was really young. So, but like I could hear it right away because I've listened to that band so much, especially their first two albums. So that's cool.
Those are the ones we primarily listen to. They're
Their
only
best.
listen to. Yeah.
Yeah, same. It's their best. Too bad you're beautiful in the fiction we live, and everything else is whatever.
Pretty much.
So, is there any chance we're getting vinyl for the full length?
Yes. Yes.
Was gonna say, is there anything you could tell us who you're going with, or do you know how far?
So I yeah, it's kind of weird. I'm like, I guess like since we just got back like a few days ago, like I kind of waited to decide all this stuff, and I'm what my plan is like I want to I want to start working. We're trying to start working on CDs for it, CDs, and then tapes as well. I think we might work with we're gonna Ephira is gonna do our CDs. We're going to work with Native Estates and I believe Self First again to do our tapes. And then I'm going to wait to do vinyl until we have the remastered / remixed version of it.
You bastards, you're going to make me wait that long, eh?
Yeah. <They're too laughs> pinchy. I want it to be done right.
See, I think the mix right now sounds perfect, but I mean, it's your music, your band, right?
Yeah.
There's just small things
just bump. Yeah.
That shit only you guys hear kind of thing?
Yeah.
I know how that goes. Okay.
So we've talked a little bit about the record. We wanted to talk about kind of tour life, your live shows. Because so far you played with some of the bigger names in the new wave of screamo. So you played with Kiowa, which we also interviewed recently, One Way Mirror, and also you played with some veterans, like in Loving Memory. So there's any one band you would name, could be unrealistic, that you would really like to share stages with, who would that be?
Dallas Taylor Under Oath.
I would say Hope's Fall. I would love to play with Hope's Fall. Hope's Fall or
realistic answers, Hope's Fall or Anthony Green, Seosin.
I feel like they're still active. So
but because you said unrealistic is why I was so quick with the Dallas Taylor Under Oath.
Do you have a favorite memory so far, or maybe a favorite show that you played?
I think
probably the most recent show we just played to end the tour with.
Yeah, that the one we just played with In Loving Memory and Widow Dusk, One Way, and Ghost Spirit.
Yeah,
that one was really fun. It was, I didn't think like anyone would like know any of the album songs yet, so it was cool to see some people singing along.
And you think your music wouldn't appeal to like people that would normally go and see like more traditional like screamo stuff, like scrams, how is you call it? Do you think they kind of have that rejection to like more, I would say, accessible like metalcore influenced music? Isn't that like metalcore?
I feel like, yeah. I think
a little bit of that, and also how we didn't release the album until like halfway through our tour, and being in California states away. And plus, just like, I don't know, probably just also a bit of insecurity about our own.
It's kind of, we have noticed like, crowds are like kind of thrown off by when we start playing sometimes, because like we'll play with like heavier bands, like we notice this on tour a lot. Like we'd be playing with like One Way Mirror or Kiowa would go before us. They're really good. They're a lot heavier than us. And you know, like people are moshing like throughout like their whole songs, and then like we play and like we like start with like a soft singing part, and people are just like standing there. And like even when the drum beat comes in, like at the two stepping part, people are still just standing there.
Not a single person two step. Not even a little bit.
Yeah.
No. I think like mixed bills are something you just have to get accustomed to, but I think there's the right way to go usually. Because like being like facing a 8 band bill and everybody's playing the same type of chaotic screamo, I don't know if that's any better than kind of some mix genre.
Yeah, for sure.
It gets really exhausting.
But have you ever so far had the chance of playing like more like shows more towards your style of music? Do you like play hardcore
auditions? Like I guess the issue we were talking about, it seems to kind of not like exist like back home. So like when we play like in Denton, is like, I don't know. Like we kind of, it seems like we usually have mixed bills. Like we play with like, we play with like Bullets, Since My Beloved, Heartworks, and like they're all kind of diff, like some are heavier than the others, but it all kind of goes well.
The Denton scene's a lot more spread out as far as like genres. Where like when we were on tour, some of the members of One Way Mirror in Kiowa would say that everybody writes the same breakdowns up there. But in Denton, it's like it's not, there are similar bands, but there's never like the same band.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then I guess to answer your question, the shows we have played like that feel like more towards our crowd, I guess. Campion Alaska shows that we did a run with them in Texas in like
May.
May. And those shows, they were all really fun. It's all we love Campion Alaska, like the Midwest emo singy stuff. I guess like it's weird when we play with bands like them because it's like in that crowd we're like the heavier band, but then like I don't,
There's not really like an in between. It's either we're playing with like a party hat kind of like screamo band with like twinkly mathy guitar, or we're playing with like Ephira bands with like three or four breakdowns in their song. It's like pretty big jump. We like both a lot. We love both, but just there's not
I
much.
think it's good to be like, I know it might be like a little bit, it might feel a little bit like you're singled out of a specific bunch, but I feel like it's good to be able to fit in like a variety of bills in front of a variety of crowds, because that kind of exposes you to more situations that you usually would when like adhering specifically to one aesthetic, one specific sound. And so usually playing in front of the same crowds more or less with the same interests. So I think it's good that you're kind of too heavy for some and then a little softer than others.
Yeah.
It's, we agree. It's very, it's, we think it's like it works out well for us because it always like we kind of find ourselves as being like a somewhat refreshing or like exciting sound on a bill to, since we can't like, we don't play with many like similar bands. So like sometimes it works out really well for us, and sometimes we like play with other bands and we feel sick performing after them because they were really like, we played Since My Beloved's last show, and that was also Empty Shell Casing's first show. And after that, I like really felt sick about and like nervous about playing after them. And that's like probably the most nervous I've ever felt about a show, just because they were so like, I don't know how to match energy like that with the soft parts that we have sometimes. But it still works out well for us. I like it.
That's kind of inspiring, I guess. It's kind of like when you're in school and it's nice and exciting to be like the least people in the room and you're like, oh, everybody knows, so I have to. But at the same time you're kind of shitting yourself because of it.
Did you guys have any bad memories from tour? Did anything go wrong, blow a tire or anything like that?
I'm trying to think.
Just the
No,
drives.
yeah, the drives were kind of ass, but our windshield cracked on the way back.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, we and we had a rental car.
Yeah, we kind of did something in Seattle.
But yeah, yeah, I don't know. For the
That's not
most
too
part, it
bad
was
if
not.
that's it.
Yeah, that was. Oh, I guess. I mean, I feel like we didn't really have any bad show. Like, just besides Chico, insanely hot, small room, probably the size of my bedroom. It was like 110 degrees in there. But that's kind of,
I thought it was still really
yeah,
funny.
that's not, it's still not even that bad. I guess one that's not from Thor, we played a show in San Antonio and he threw up while we were playing and we kept playing. There's a video. We like literally, it's like, it's during Tears on the Moon or O2 actually.
The
And
beginning of
yeah, the beginning of O2. And it's like right before it's like going into the breakdown where he starts screaming. And instead of screaming, he just literally just throws up.
That's
It's
awesome.
not even just like a little bit. It's like it was a lot.
Holy fuck.
Why?
Yeah.
It was like the middle of summer, kind of, or like the beginning of summer with no
Yeah, it
AC.
was in a, yeah, like a.
And it was in a really small room, and everybody, like, it was really crowded because, I mean, San Antonio shows are always packed. The kids always show out, and it's like they also get a little too rowdy and a little too excited. And there was a stage, and they were up on the stage, and I asked them to back up, I think, before and in between every single song, and they didn't do it until I threw up. And so
Did your puke hit any of the fans? Because that would have been hilarious.
I think it hit some shoes, but
Yeah.
other than that,
Yes.
yeah,
Oh, that's fucking nasty.
it was.
Whole step back from the stage.
I was already kind of a little bit insecure because I took my shirt off. It's like, why am I taking my shirt off up here? Who do I think I am? And then on top of that, I had to throw up.
Oh my God, that's fucking hilarious. I don't normally ask, but you guys had such a great guitar tone. Specifically, what did I write down? The intro riff on At Least Be Human. I don't know if there was something that was done to just that intro riff, but it's you guys like such a great crunch. And I don't normally ask, but I'm really curious what kind of setup you guys are rocking with. Like, what's the rig look like? Or did you dial that in production, or how'd you get that tone?
Basically, like, well,
The thing
I
about
guess it depends on, like, do you know, like, can you which specific riff, like, you're talking about? Like,
you said the intro riff on At Least Be Human, so the one that's
oh yeah, so
like,
that's, yeah,
yeah.
that's Mason's setup. All he's using, or what we use for basically all guitars on the recording, and I guess I started doing this live. Mason doesn't do it live, but we just use it literally just a distortion pedal. He has an adaptive distortion, the orange distortion pedal, Boss, that, and then we use an EQ pedal. And the EQ, like, I don't know, that really helps shape our tone. We just use the same like EQ on all distortion, and I just use like a Boss metalcore pedal plus my EQ pedal, and I don't know, that seems to do the trick. And then we just go off the clean channel from the amp.
Which Boss pedal, sorry, the orange one, just the regular distortion?
It's
Or are you using like the metal zone?
the adaptive distortion. That's what it's called, I believe. It's like
Okay.
a darker orange. It's almost like bronze, but I think, yeah.
Okay.
But
Yeah, I can't picture that one. I know like the plain orange one is like one of their first and earliest.
It actually sounds really good. And he has some, do you know what pickup, I don't know, he has some like certain pickups on his guitars to where, like, is he like, when we play live, like, I use a metalcore, and my distortion pedal doesn't really cut through as much as his.
His has a lot of high end.
Mine's very like low end, and it kind of gets drawn out live. But the EQ pedal fixes that, so.
His setup kind of feels more like he's changed it a little bit since we've met him, but not a whole lot. And so it's still kind of there. When we started playing with him, he had like he plays with a purple, like a sparkly purple Les Paul. And he likes more like classic rock bands, or did more when we started playing with him. And so he kind of has more of that higher end sound that like permits like solos. So that's why, I think that's why that riff like cuts through so much.
Yeah.
And then his is like really, like, really basically just a low end tone on his distortion. So it kind of works out well as a duo. But I don't play guitar, I don't know much.
I play guitar and don't know much. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
When I sent you guys the questions list the other day, I forgot somehow to put in the three questions I usually ask every guest. If you've heard a full episode of the podcast, you'll know what's coming here. But I was curious if you guys listened to any music that could be considered a guilty pleasure by yourself or others. And if you don't believe in guilty pleasures, what are you listening to that we wouldn't expect?
like I said, I have older sisters, so I like musicals. So I like the Phantom of the Opera a lot and the La La Land soundtrack I listen to a lot as well. And then like I learned how to sing from the first Panic at the Disco album, and a lot of people think that album's not very good, or like just
It's
that generally is pretty terrible, but I
her
disagree.
first one.
Yeah.
Rob,
Like,
it's the one I share on close friends.
what?
It's the one I constantly share on close friends.
Yeah, Fever You Can't Sweat Out.
Yeah.
People think that album's bad now?
No.
I don't know what
My
the kids are thinking. That shit was sick when I was a teenager. Well, I guess actually I got made fun of for that shit, but
it's
regardless, it's a flawless album.
I hear like both sides.
it's fairly mixed. I've liked it a lot since I was a kid, and there was a time when it was not cool to like that at all.
Well, definitely.
That's
I lived through
released.
those times.
Yeah.
And then because of Empty Shell Casing, I like a couple more new metal bands now. So
I like Justin Bieber.
Yeah. Seriously.
I like old Justin Bieber and
Drake.
I like old Drake. Sorry.
Oh, he likes more than old Drake. He just likes.
Those are my guilty pleasures, Drake and Justin
Both can.
Bieber. Yeah.
Yeah,
And then
both terrible though.
something that you wouldn't expect us to listen to. All of us really, really like 80s and 90s R&B.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
Yes.
cool. Okay. I definitely did not expect that.
Yes.
It's really, really good.
Good for the singing.
Yeah. It's like our goal is to be able to sing like
Yeah, we made jokes about like
Luther.
starting like a Boys to Men type group.
Yeah.
Yo,
Yeah.
that would be awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what's the most illegal or dangerous thing that you've ever done in your life that you're willing to put on a very public podcast? You guys are already looking at each other weird. What?
I
I can't say this.
Well,
say in Minecraft, just so you don't get in trouble,
Oh,
hypothetically.
dude. In Minecraft terms,
Yes.
we bartered with many different villagers seven stacks, full stacks of seeds. And I can't like explain that in any way, shape, or form. And that's about as much as I can say about it.
Have to decode that somehow. Okay. I'm trying to think what the. I'm asking you once I hit pause because there's no fucking way I'm going to be able to figure that one out. Let's see. All right. All right. All right. All right. Another one of our stupider questions we like to ask near the end. If you guys could punch any one person in the face as hard as you can, one punch, no repercussions, who would you punch and why?
All right.
Man, that's
I would punch Billy Corgan.
I like that answer.
That's a good
He sucks.
answer.
Yeah,
Sucks
he
pretty
just
hard.
sucks. I don't feel like I don't even have to
You
explain.
don't, you don't.
What's the one lead singer? What's his, is it Mike Ness from Social Distortion? What's his name? The lead singer? Whoever the lead singer of Social Distortion is, I would punch him in the face as hard as I could without any repercussions, just because he's the lead singer of Social Distortion.
Just solely based on that?
Pretty much.
Is that enough?
That band sucks. Their fans suck, generally.
Oh, dude. No, fuck.
Sorry, that's kind of like a great shock, kind of, but it's, I just...
Point, you're also punching, like, a elderly person because he's, like, 1,000 years old. So that's, like, full trouble.
In my opinion, punching elderly people below the age of, like, 80 is, like, somewhat justified because baby boomers, like, totally ruined America for us since... Blame us for it. Says so, like, yeah, for sure.
Would you
punch, that's fair.
Would you punch Billy Joe?
I was not that crossed my mind when I was gonna say it, but I like Green Day a little bit. So I don't know. There's just something about Social Distortion that's a lot like worse.
what about Social Distortion is bugging you? Because I mean they've got some good songs. I have no issue with them.
Just sometimes when I was young, what really bothered me is when I didn't know and hadn't heard of them. They had been presented to me like a hardcore band because people had like bombers and like patches on their vests. And it's like, oh, so in a name like Social Distortion, just because I was listening to bands like Earth Crisis and things at the time. And it's like, and then Social Distortion, that sounds like that would be just based on the name might be a band like that. And I listened to it and was thoroughly disappointed and angered by its presentation at that point. So
you dislike them based on the fact that you imagined they'd be a heavier band and then found out they are not very heavy. That's your
They're
whole
not beef. Very heavy, and it's just, I think that's really annoying. I don't like the way he sings at all. I'm not a fan of Social Distortion. It's that or Mike, what, Fat Mike, because No Effect is just truly awful in my opinion. I hate ska. I cannot stand ska.
They have barely any ska songs, but Fat Mike definitely deserves a punch in the face. He's been on some stupid shit lately, and by lately I mean for at least the last decade.
Yeah. My girlfriend's a really big No Effects fan, so
it's hard to go back to Social Distortion.
Sorry, say it one more time.
Now, once you've already discovered Earth Crisis and stuff, it's pretty tough to go back to Social Distortion and accept it.
Especially from a younger age with such a like a build up to it. It's a constant reminder of disappointment.
That makes sense.
So we're getting towards the end. Just would you mind sharing with us what's new for the band coming up this year? Any future touring? Any shows coming up you want to mention?
We have, honestly, I feel like we don't have as many shows planned as we should for this year. But like, I feel like they'll probably start coming in soon. Like, we'll probably start planning some soon. I guess our next, like, big kind of thing we have planned is we're gonna do another run with Kiowa in One Way, but this time they're gonna come to us in Texas, and I think we're gonna do all of Texas. And I don't know, we had some talks of this. I don't know if we decide if we're gonna if we can still do all this, but maybe do all of Texas and then like drive east, like the Florida, and go through there and come probably just come back. That's our next big thing, I guess. And then we have a show next Friday with Aren't We Amphibians and Party Hats and Skimp and Den. So that'll be fun. But that's, yeah, I think we're very spontaneous. So things kind of just happen as they go.
Yeah,
but that's all.
We're bad at planning.
Yeah, that's all that's planned so far.
Do you have like a dream, like goal or accomplishment you want to reach as a band? Like any big venue you want to play or a festival you've always dreamed of playing? Any milestone you want to accomplish, ideally?
I want to not have to work a blue collar job. That's basically the only dream and goal.
Yeah, it would just be nice to play music,
Yeah.
and have enough money to play music like on the road a lot.
Yeah.
I guess that's my that's honestly the
That's pretty much it.
that's the goal. And then
Playing with the dream bands that we said
yeah,
earlier.
playing with the bands we're inspired with. I feel like there's it seems like there's not oh there's a few cool fests, but like there's nothing like I feel like they're trying to do stuff like Warped Tour, you know, but like they can't seem to do it right. If something like that comes across or like another kind of Warped Tour type of deal, that'd be sick to play something like that.
So by the third
And
album, you guys start doing 80s R&B, you sell out, make enough money to play music and just play them. That's the
exactly.
plan. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the plan.
We're gonna do a blend of Frank Ocean and 80s R&B, and we're gonna rob Atlantic Records out of a deal with a 50-minute long music video.
It's a good plan. It's a good plan. All right. Well, guys, any last shout outs, any plugs, causes, anything you want to speak on? And then we'll play an outro track on the audio podcast and say our sayonaras.
I guess just shout out all our friends.
Shout out everybody we just went on tour with and
Yeah.
everybody that came along. Shout
Yeah.
out to One Way Mirror and Kiowa and
Yeah.
Elias Tax.
Oh, I didn't mention. I guess I don't know if we're supposed to talk about this, but we are doing a we are do, gonna do a split with One Way Mirror and Kiowa. We're trying to put it out by the, yeah, we're trying to put it out by the end of the year. Two tracks each. Kiowa already has their tracks recorded, so I think we just got to record our tracks, and One Way's got to do it. So,
Very sick.
yeah. So hopefully that'll be out by like December or something.
Ideally.
That'd be
Yes.
dope. Ideally, yeah, if all goes well.
Shout out to everybody on Ephira Records
Yeah,
that
Afir
helped
is
us get to
awesome.
where we are.
Yeah.
Shout out to Paul and Christian and Zane and Jakari. All of the above.
Yeah, shout out everyone like on like in Afira. Shout out everyone back home. That's yeah. That's basically the gist.
And my best friend, Michael Ireland.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming to chat with us today, guys. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you
Yeah,
for
thank
having
you.
us.
Watch mine.
Just before I end the call, we usually have somebody introduce the first song on the podcast, like a cheesy Disney type intro. They'd be like, "Hey, this is my name. You're listening to On a Broken Edge by my band Cinema on Not Just a Phase." You can decline it, but
Shut
most people
up.
do it, and it always sounds really cheesy, and I love it.
I can kind of do like a rapper producer tag voice.
You're gonna throw your voice for it? Okay.
Yeah. So you said it's on a broken edge, right?
Yeah, you go, "Hey, this is my name, my band, the song, and then the
Oh my God.
podcast."
Pissed. Like a radio track.
It's 100%. We're tuning in.
You want me to write it out for you in the notes there?
No, I got it. I'm just a little
Okay.
I feel weird about doing this voice on a podcast.
Well, I'll.
Okay, I'll do
All right.
it.
This is Hunter Wilson. You're listening to On a Broken Edge by my band, Cinema.
You redo that? I was actually so sick, but it cut out for some reason. Does your bit audio cut out too, Vicky?
Mine didn't.
You
I
heard that
think,
full thing?
yeah.
Oh my God.
Fuck, I don't know.
Okay, I'll do it one more time. I'll do it one more time.
Okay.
Oh my God.
This is Hunter, and you're listening to On a Broken Edge by my band, Cinema.
You gotta do the podcast at the end. Fuck. Did you do the podcast at the end the first time?
Yes.
No.
Not
Just put,
it. I have
just
to
do,
redo the whole
I can
thing.
staple it together.
Just
Yeah, if you can do the whole thing, then
it's the
it's
easy, not just the face.
perfect. How do you do that fucking voice?
Listen to not just faith.
Just
Yeah.
do it right, just like that right now, just flat.
Yeah. It's Hunter, you're listening to the song On a Broken Edge by Cinema on Not Just a Phase.
Okay.
Nope.
How did you learn you could do that? That's so fucking stupid.
I'm like just kind of always, when I was a kid, I liked doing impressions a lot, so I can just kind of do a lot of accents and different voices, which is why I was the one nominated to be the screamer in the band.
You were nominated, like you didn't know you could scream before that, or
No, like
really?
we didn't listen to like I listened to it in like phases. Like freshman year, I went from like listening to the Smiths to the end of the year listening to like black metal, and then like back and forth throughout high school, but never to like enough into it to like try and imitate it. And so we didn't really listen to it or get into it until we started playing shows. And then we just wanted to make it, so I tried it and did it. Yeah, that's it.
That was
Smiths
crazy.
to black metal. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, my parents were not a fan of the jumps.
Awesome. All right.